Interesting, the Psalms we're going to look at actually talks about God sitting on a throne. I'm kind of excited about it because David writes about it, Jesus quotes it, St. Peter quotes it, and Paul the Apostle quotes it, and then I'm going to quote it, and then I'm going to have you read it to the people next to you so you're going to quote it. It's very cool to see. But we want to encourage you about going through the Bible daily. There's a Bible out. It's called the Daily Bible, and you can read it. It's set up that you can read so many chapters a day, and you'll be through. At the bottom, every day, is a Bible, and it's open, and it gives you the scripture reading. If you follow that scripture reading, you'll actually end up December 31st, having gone from the very first verse of Genesis to the very last verse of the book of Revelation. So we want to really emphasize to you, these are times that you really want to know your God, and you really want to know the Word of God. Things are moving very quickly. But boy, there's something really big going to come in our country, and I want to encourage all of you that you would get into the Bible every day and read it and let God speak to you. Mount Zion Channel 1, no interruptions, no stereo, no podcasting, no AM, FM, just you and God. And he doesn't have any commercials on it. He'll just say, hey, psst, come here, I want to tell you a secret. And then he'll start talking to you. Very, very cool. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 104, where we left off last week. And I left us with a question, how do the psalmists know the things that are in Psalm 104? Because they're so detailed about the personality and the person of God and how he thinks. And so I gave you two questions to think about since last CMV. And the questions was, did he die and go to heaven? Or did he just go into heaven and he looked around and says, oh, this is how I know about God? Or the second question was, did he have a fresh vision? And I'm going to pray that God would give you a fresh vision, that you'd be so on fire, it would bust your heart to let any of your friends go without knowing about Jesus, that you would just really pour your heart out. And so we want to just ask God to use us like he's never used us before, to tell people about eternal life and about Jesus Christ and the power that he has for them. So let's go ahead and get educated by this psalmist in Psalm 104 and take some notes as they come up to you, and let him explain the attributes of God to us. Because Psalm 104 deals heavily with the attributes of God, and this man really knew him. And you have to wonder, though, how the psalmist knows all this about him. But many of you know the Lord, and you look back a year or 5 years or 10 years, and it isn't that God came in a flaming bush to you, or he, you know, told you to build an ark, there's going to be a flood, or did some supernatural thing. You can look back and say, I remember I was praying, and this came to pass, or that came to pass. And you begin to see how God works and how he thinks. And I know if God wants something done, all he's looking for is people that are willing to serve him. And it all gets sorted out in heaven anyhow. Some people go up to heaven and they'll get a crown for all their labors about the size of a double bubble chewing gum. And that's about it. Other people, they're going to have people walking around holding their crowns up there so huge. You know, they're falling off their heads. And why mess around down here in this fleshly level doing nothing with our lives? And we get to a place where we breathe our last breath, and what did we accomplish with our life? I think this is what we can learn by going through the Bible together. I think that you can start. I sat down today, I'll be honest, I read my Bible, but I didn't start through the program, and I sat down just a few moments, read the 11 chapters, got caught up to speed. I actually did one chapter for tomorrow so I can sleep in 3 minutes longer. And I'm doing it through the Living Bible, which makes it just like a story. And you can do the New King James that takes you through it in 1 year. And you'll just see God ignite your heart with a flame. And then all of a sudden you're going to be able to say, I know how God works. I saw God do this. I know God will do this. I mean, don't you want to just be consumed with him and let him just use you and take you wherever he wants to take you? It's just everyday ordinary people that God uses. But the more you know his word, God's people can do great and mighty things through him by faith. So Psalm 104, we can get some great attributes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, and who covers yourself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who lays the beams of his chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks upon the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they
hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, and to the places which you have founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Did you ever think of that, going down to OB or PB? And you're sitting there and you're watching the waves come in. They don't come over the wall and up the mountain to Point Loma or, you know, go into La Jolla, UCSD or anything. They go a certain way, depend on the tide, and then they go back out. And God has said to all the seas, you'll never cover the ground again. In our reading here, the first 2 days, today's reading through the Bible was Noah. And you think from Noah, 5 chapters back, that when God made the earth was all one ball of water. And then he spoke, as it says in Psalm 104, and it all receded, so there's mountaintops. And so God spoke all this to happen. He created it. And then it's interesting to note that when God's judgment came upon the world, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And when you read about the days of Noah, and you read the newspaper today or watch the news, and you see how people are living, it's exactly the same. And the judgment of God was that the oceans went 22 feet above the highest mountains, above Mount Everest. You know, they say that the big island in Hawaii, where the Kona Coast is on one side and Hilo on the other, the island of Hawaii, is probably about 43,000 to 48,000 feet high. But the water covers it and makes it an island. But it is so far down there. And God just spoke and the water said, yes, sir, whatever you want, we'll stop right here. We'll be waves. We'll be surfing fun. We'll just be water that laps in and out and goes with the tide and with the moon. And God spoke it. And he had it all planned. Now, this psalmist is endorsing everything from the book of Genesis, actually. They go up the mountains. They go down the valley. You set a boundary that they can't pass over. He sends the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitations which sing among the branches. He waters the hills with his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he has planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows his going down. You make darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after they prey and seek their meat from God. You know, there's a couple words here to describe some of the menu ladies have dated. Verse 16 talked about the saps, and then in verse 19 talked about the creeps. The sun arises, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goes forth unto his work, into his labor, gets up in the morning until evening. So in the creation, in the first part of Genesis, said that God called it night and day, sun and moon to give the light over the night and the day. And now here you realize that he already put it in our heart that we get up in the morning, we go to work until evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There goes that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. And Leviathan is another word for a sea monster, like the Loch Ness Monster, or like, you know, the sea dragons of old. When we studied Job before we did the book of Psalms, we looked at that Leviathan was a huge problem to the mariners of the day, and that he had scales all over his body. And if you tried to throw a spear into him or harpoon him, the scales would just close up on him, and he was just watertight. But then we know that something huger than larger and bigger and more powerful than a tsunami, or at least tsunamis like we've never known, came on the earth, because it said Leviathan will be meat for those that dwell in the desert. So these huge dinosaur-type creatures that used to roam the earth and in the waters were picked up out of the ocean and taken over mountains and dropped into the desert. So tremendous catastrophes were going on in those days. So Leviathan is known here by the psalmist. this creature that dwelled out in the sea. Job says that they used to have Leviathan guards, and their whole job was to be spotting him in case he came to the inlets and to the bays of a community, that they could sound the alarm to get all the people out of the water. He could breathe fire and smoke. So it was much like what we see in our pictures of a dragon, but still being able to be out in the water. You make darkness and night, O Lord, your wisdom is so manifold. The ships, there is that Leviathan whom you have made to play in the ocean. These wait all upon you. All the creatures wait upon God, that you mayest give them their meat in due season. They all know that God feeds them. That you give them, they gather. And you open your hand and they are filled with good. You hide your face and they are troubled. You take away their breath and they die and they return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my whole being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. So if you took some time and just went through there and started underlining, you'd see all these different attributes that you get from walking with the Lord. But also, I think the psalmist understood the books of Moses. And he's quoting things that he learned. And I think you'll see also that the psalmist was a good historian like Moses. I want to point out a couple of things here to you from Psalm 105, which is a very exciting psalm. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. So now we see about outreach, that we have a responsibility to let other people know about the things that God is doing. I mean, you should be thrilled that if this is your church, that you know, all over the country, there are people listening to your Bible study. To me, it's a mind blower because there's tens or hundreds of thousands of people besides us sitting here. Because when I think, when I start with 10 people in the living room, it's just amazing to stop and think. There may be 10 people in a prison cell right now listening for all we know. But God wants to use us all in powerful ways before we become like that animal and go back to our dust. He wants to use you. Your life should be just spent just praising him and loving him and letting other people know the great deeds that he has done for you. Sing unto him. Sing psalms with him, unto him. Talk ye of all of his wondrous works. And isn't it interesting that he says, sing psalms? And in Colossians, it tells us, come before the Lord with singing and make a joyful sound, making melody in your heart, singing psalms and hymns. And here he says, sing psalms. So you could just write music to the words that David's done, and you could just sing all day long about the Lord. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Now look at this. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Now he commanded it. So you have the responsibility to pass it to the next generation. For every generation deserves a witness. Now the devil's working extra hard. He's done everything he can to shut down the gospel. The gospel started out in Jerusalem. And he said, let's shut these people down. Let's stop these people from spreading the word of God. And do you remember in the book of Acts, it tells about a man named Philip. And Philip went out into the desert and there was an Ethiopian eunuch. He was a black man riding in a chariot. He happened to be Queen Candace's treasurer, the queen of all of Ethiopia. Ethiopia used to be a very beautiful, verdant land, very, very wealthy. And he's in his chariot with his bodyguards, and Philip comes up beside him, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And somehow Philip recognizes he's reading Isaiah. And he says, can I help you? And he says, does this man speak of himself, or is he speaking of another? And Philip jumped in the chariot and began to preach Christ to him out of the book of Isaiah. And then he said, what forbids me from being baptized? And they stopped at a little oasis, and he got out of the chariot, and they went down into that desert little puddle of water, and he baptized him right there. And as soon as he was baptized, the Bible tells us that Philip was mysteriously taken up by the Holy Ghost and moved off to another part of Israel to witness to other people. Wow, that's really a trip. That's a trip squared when you think of it. Imagine you're just telling somebody about Jesus. Say, whoops, I'm late for work. Shh, boom, and you're there. You know, just down the street before you know it. You know, the devil always tries to stop the gospel. But God could pick you up right now and just zoom you right into Baghdad and zoom you right back. And then you stop and think of it, that the devil sent persecution upon all the Jews that became Christians. Because you see, Christianity really was based on the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ. And it were the Jews that first were converted. And then when St. Paul got converted, it went to the Gentiles. That was his ministry. But you remember they sent persecution to bother the Christians, to kill the Christians. And it was at that time that the Bible said that the persecution pushed the Christians out of Jerusalem, except for the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. And they spread throughout the countryside, and wherever they went, the word of God multiplied. So the devil couldn't stop it. The more he pressured, the more the multiplication of the scriptures. So, you know, God will not let it be stopped. No matter how big the atheist or the atheistic organization or how wealthy people are that want to shut down the Holy Scriptures, they'll never do it. David said, your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. God said, I hold my word above my name. So when people try to go up against his word, come on. We're on the winning team here. The word is a sword. And we can battle all the demons that are around us. I mean, they're flying all over the place. And they're controlling everything. But you just get to walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another. You fear nothing. If God be for you, who in the world can be against you? So why do you want to play at a lower level when you can get up into the battle and you can go to war with the Lord in the spiritual realm and you can see him set the captives free just by you being obedient to his word? He's always tried to stop the word. So Paul goes out. He gets in these journeys that he goes on and he leads people and communities to the Lord. Plants churches, and then all of a sudden those people go out, and it's like a bad virus. It just keeps spreading. And the more they go out, the further the gospel goes. And so he started to go to Asia. Do you remember that? He wanted to go to Asia. And then all of a sudden he had a dream one night. And there was a man that came to him from Macedonia, the area of when President Clinton was in power, that we had war going on. He promised we'll have our American troops out of there in 1 year. Called Bosnia and Serbia. Remember that in Croatia? Our troops are still there all these years later. Nobody even pays any attention. You know, the whole issue is Iraq, Iraq, Iraq. No, we were over there doing things too. But that's where Paul was called. There was a man that said, come over and help us. And so he got up, and as he started to go, he said, the Holy Spirit forbade me from going to Asia. And he went to Macedonia and never found this man begging him to come into Asia. But instead, he found a woman named Lydia who was a seller of purple. Purple was royalty. And she was a wealthy businesswoman. And they were holding a prayer meeting, she and the people that worked for her, on a riverbank with other women. And Paul came up and introduced himself, and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost. And the gospel went out through all of that area that we call Armenia or Macedonia or Croatia or Bosnia, that whole area, Yugoslavia, the whole thing, the gospel just exploded. So Paul just kept pulling the string and the ball of yarn kept unwinding, and he kept going more into Europe and then back to Jerusalem and then back to Antioch and then back over in the ships. And he said an interesting thing one day. He was on a ship and it began to sink, and the soldiers that were guarding him and taking him to Rome, because he is now a prisoner, were fearful, and he said, fear not, for an angel has told me that we shall not die. And as they were just hanging onto the driftwood, floating around in the water, Paul was preaching the gospel to these people like the sinking Titanic. He feared not. And they got to this island, and there were these local native people that lived there, and they were fearful of all these strangers coming. And Paul began to preach the gospel to them. They began accepting Jesus. And as he's taking the wood and piling it up and he's going to make a fire and help the soldiers dry off, there's a poisonous snake inside the pile of wood. And he reaches into the wood and the snake grabs a hold of his hand. And the Bible says he just shook it off. And all the local people were fearful and thought he was a god. He said, don't worship me, worship the Lord. And every time they tried to stop the Bible or the people that were preaching the Bible, the devil lost the battle and it multiplied. And Paul said, you know, I've been shipwrecked. I've been in prison. I've been beaten. I've had 39 stripes 2 times. Jesus had them 1 time. I've been thrown out of a city. I've been stoned nearly to death. I've been bitten by a poisonous snake. I have had so much trial and turmoil. And on top of that, I had the daily care of the churches. You know, it's really rough being a minister and doing everything you do and then come back and care for the people that make up the churches. The guy was really exhausted, to say the least. But his heart was always for the people of God. And what did he want the people of God to do? Read your Bible, 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 read your Bible. Why? It's not because it's some homework assignment. There's power in the Word of God that supernaturally just unleashes. You think Harry Potter is interesting? My goodness, get in the Word of God. Give the Bible to a kid and let their mind go. Can you imagine a little boy coming with a slingshot, hitting a giant 10 feet tall right in the middle of the head with such a powerful sling of that stone that it embedded past the first layer of bones, went right into the brain and kills this 10-foot giant, and then takes a giant sword out and chops his head off? That's not exciting? Holy moly, come on. The Word of God is going to set you free. It's going to give you power. It's going to unleash you to do the work that he's called you to and he's designed you to do. Remember his marvelous works. Oh, you seed of Abraham, a servant, you children of Jacob. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Now, this is cool because the word of God is passed on to each family. From one family to the next family, from one generation to that family, you may be the only link. Some of you think you're the missing link, but you're the only link maybe in your family right now. That if you don't start sharing, where are they going to get the gospel? If a family experiences revival, a neighborhood experiences revival. And if a neighborhood experiences revival, a city can experience a revival. It all starts with the family. It starts right with the individual family. When it gets on fire and they start doing business the correct way and people start loving and forgiving, it moves through the community. If 40 years is the generation, then it's 4,000 years. You stop and think about these 1,000 generations. It just goes on and on. And you and I have the opportunity to pass it on. Let's pray for your generation and your family. Let's pray for the younger generation that doesn't know. You know, in Psalm 105, verse 14 and 15, it says, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yes, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Remember Abram and Sarah? In Genesis, Abram is married to Sarah before his name is Abraham and she becomes Sarah. And when they go into Egypt, he says, you are so beautiful. It was his half-sister. You are so beautiful that the men are going to start talking about you and they're going to kill me to get you. So if anyone asks, tell them I'm your brother. So she was so stunningly beautiful that the men started telling the assistants to Pharaoh. And they said, this woman is out of sight. You got to get her. And so Pharaoh says, well, bring her to me. And because Abram, they thought, was the brother, they made him instantly rich. Instantly. Gave him servants and maids and cattle and sheep and goats and gold and jewels. Instantly made him a multimillionaire because of her beauty. And then God begins to plague Pharaoh and his house and speaks to him, what are you doing with another man's wife? And Pharaoh says, why have you done this and lied to me? And he said, well, I was afraid because she's so beautiful and I told her. He did this twice to his beautiful bride with 2 different kings and God dealt with him. Well, God said to the kings, don't touch my people. You know, if you belong to God, the devil can pound on you and pound on you and pound on you, but he can't take your life. He cannot take your life. Now, he will not allow you to be tempted or pounded on above what you're able to bear. And with this temptation, he'll give you the means of escape. But it's common to every man. So if you're really struggling and there is something so humongous in your life that you just don't think you're going to make it through this, you are. Because the fact that it's in your life says that God trusts you. This is just one of the toughest testings you've ever had. And he's going to give you the means of escape through prayer and through his son, Jesus Christ. Don't give up. If ever there was a time to have spiritual men and women be warriors for the cause of the gospel, I'm not talking about physical warriors. I'm talking about the spiritual realm that is going on. You need to really answer the call of God and give your heart to Him and be used by Him for His honor and for His glory. We can't misuse this statement flippantly, touch not thy anointed. God had rebuked kings for the sake of His people. And though God's word goes forth, do my prophets no harm. And we know that the prophets suffered much harm, tremendous harm. But God's word said, don't. So everyone that ever persecuted or made a prophet suffer harm is really answering to the Lord on that. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 35, if you would, for a minute in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Hebrews 11, verse 35. Just before the book of James is the book of Hebrews. And just before chapter 12 is chapter 11, in case you didn't know. But I want you to look at verse 35. Verse 33 would be better. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Speaking of David. Who through faith? How do you get faith? Romans says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall people hear except the word be preached? And how shall the word be preached except a man be sent? So if you want to be a woman of faith or a man of faith, read your Bible every day. Just grow in the grace of God through the knowledge. And this is how these people we read about in the Bible stand out to us. They weren't different than you. They were just people that believed God's word. By faith, they subdued kingdoms. They quenched, verse 34, the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yes, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And here you are today with so much technology. These people had nothing, and they were tortured for their faith. And we need to be about our Father's business. And I like it, Psalm 105, verse 45, if you want to drop down there. He tells all about the judgments of God. It says that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws. Praise ye the Lord. In Psalm 105, in reading it, we get the idea that God has done wonders for several reasons. Number one, to protect His people. Because when you back up, say, go to verse 23, Israel also came into Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land with Ham, and he increased his people greatly, made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark. They rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood, slew their fish. The land brought forth frogs in abundance to the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there was various sorts of flies and lice. And he gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. And on it just tells the judgments that God sent. But I think he sent these wonders, as you read the rest of Psalm 105, to protect his people. And secondly, to remind them of their history. We have a tremendous history. Gideon, Abraham, all these people are related to us spiritually. You're going to see them in heaven. You're going to get there and you're going to recognize them as their faith that made the stories that brought you to the book. And of course, you know that good old John the Baptist will stand out. You'll recognize him right away, the guy with his head under his arm. You'll look, you'll see him, you'll see Solomon and all of his splendor. You'll notice them all. But you should notice them all now while you're alive and learn from their beautiful lives of the things they went through. They went through everything you went through and are going through and will go through. And they made it. They made it. So the more you read it, the more powerful you get inside, the more stronger your spirit becomes. So the word will remind you as these people and the signs and wonders of God of your history. And he also did those signs and wonders to establish them with confidence.
Yeah, there's a lot of wickedness and a lot of evil going on, but our God's on the throne. Not just our God that we are religious people, but the creator of heaven and earth is beyond just the concept of a puny little person. He's our heavenly Father. He's our dad. He's our Father. He created us. There's nothing too difficult for him. And so we become more like him through his Son, Jesus Christ, as we die more to ourselves and humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he exalts us in due time, and then the joy of the Lord becomes our strength, and it takes us through all the testings and trials. And the other thing it tells us here in Psalm 105, that they might observe his statutes, verse 45, and keep his laws. One of the reasons of all these signs and wonders is to observe and keep his laws. That we would fear him and we'd awesomely worship him, that we know he could do anything at any time that he would want to do, and it'll keep us to observe his laws. Now, it's interesting, in verse 16 through 22, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. Now, look at this. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Now, Genesis, in a few days, will be telling us this story, that his brothers sold him off, whose feet they hurt with fetters or chains, and he was laid in iron, circle that, until the time that his word came, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tested him or tried him. And some of you are being tested by the word of the Lord. The king sent and loosened him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free, and he made him lord of his house and ruler of all of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. So Joseph had to go into prison, had to be shackled and feel pain and suffer and embarrassment and humility, first by his family, then by his boss and the people that he had made new friends of, and then be put in that prison. But his administrative gift inspired the warden and he took over. And you'll remember there was a butler and a baker, and they both had dreams. He interpreted the dreams, and he reminded them, when you get out, be sure to tell the Pharaoh that I'm still down here, and I was accused falsely that I tried to rape my boss's wife. And because of his righteousness, he was released out of prison. But I want to point something out. If you don't have this book in your library, it's called The Treasury of David, and it's excellent. It's an old book, but it has lots of great thoughts in it. And I'd like to read a couple things. This thought here, whose feet that you just read, whose feet they hurt with fetters. From this we learn a little bit more of Joseph from the book of Genesis and his sufferings. Inspiration had not ceased. David is actually just as accurate a historian as Moses was, that God somehow showed him something, that Joseph was in chains, and we don't know that, and they hurt his feet, something so specific. But David knew this because of his relationship and his fellowship with God. And he was searching the scriptures and probably came up with this. Now, it is interesting that it tells us that David was inspired many, many centuries after Moses was here. You can be just as inspired as Moses or David if you want to be and you really want to seek God. It's not just special people. It's people that worship a special God. And the more you want to know him, the more he'll come to you, and you'll start thinking and looking different and acting different. Your agenda will change. It'll no longer be your agenda. You'll just stand by. I stand by when I wake up in the morning. There may be something on my calendar, but I don't know what God has for today or tomorrow or the next year or 5 years from now. So if he says, I want you to do this, all right, yes, sir, I'll do that. So God's got something for all of you when you wake up in the morning. He wants to speak to you through his holy word. David says in the Psalms, he was laid in iron, or literally into iron came his soul. Which is very cool inspiration, meaning that if he is laid in iron, but his soul became bound. And it was when his soul was imprisoned that he cried out to God, I can't take it anymore. I need you, God. And that's when you can break these chains, that you let your faith go towards heaven. He was laid in iron. The prayer book version says the iron entered into his soul, which would be a good way to look at it, that whatever it was negative in his life and hurting him. Instead of trying to say, oh, that's not here, I don't believe that, negative confession or whatever, he let it get deep into his soul and he said, I want to learn the lesson from this. Teach me through this, God. This hurts so much, but teach me. And I don't ever want to come back here again. Just teach me, and when I learn the lesson, free me from these chains. And, well, they did. The iron fetters were actually, the chains were preparing him for chains of gold. And his feet standing down on a cold, dank floor of a prison were preparing him to stand in high places, the highest places in the world, that when Jacob and his brothers came back, he could stand in for Israel. He could stand in for God's chosen people and bless them. Yeah, it's even so with all the Lord's afflicted ones. If you're struggling tonight, you too shall one day step from the prison to the throne. Our God reigns, and he's our Father. He's not mad at us. He hasn't got an axe to grind with us. And if your dad were the richest guy on the earth, and he had given up the most valuable thing to bring you back home, don't you think it's going to be quite a party when we get there? He's going to hug you. He's going to wipe the tears off your eyes. Psalm 106, praise ye the Lord, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever. Again he says it, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that does righteousness at all times. Now, if you go over to verse 9, he begins talking about Moses again. So for some reason in this string of Psalms, he is really into Moses. He rebuked the Red Sea. It was dried up. God's doing this. He led them through the depths, through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. They believed. They trusted his words, and they sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. But then they began lusting exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the wilderness. And so God gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. You may have leanness in your soul tonight because God had blessed you at one time and you turned from him. And you say, well, my soul's dry. I just feel so thirsty. I'm a long ways from God. But at one time God had spoken to you as a little girl or a little boy, or maybe just a few years ago, but you turned. And so he will send leanness to your soul until that you can humble yourself. Psalm 107, and we'll close with Psalm 107. I wanted to point something out to you. He talks about the goodness of God in Psalm 107. Give thanks unto the Lord, third psalm that he starts out with this. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now the devil knows very well that I was one of his soldiers, and I was one of his young men. And when I got released from the devil, I literally was released from the devil. And he knew from that night on that he would never get me back. I served him freely and willingly. I just didn't have any strength in my life. Whatever I was told to do as one of his troopers, I did it. I caused a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache and a lot of pain in people's lives. But the minute Jesus got me, we have an understanding. Jesus, I don't want anything to do with that guy. And when he comes around, you take him out for me, would you please? Father, keep that guy away from me. I need to stick close to you. And you need to break away from some of the things the devil still pulls your chain on and you go and do. Or God's going to send leanness to your soul. And this isn't like a New Year's resolution where you're going to eat mean, lean cuisine. Your soul's going to be lean and you're going to be an unhappy person. So give thanks and tell people about it, he says. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in them. So he goes to this psalm like the other two and begins telling of God's mighty works. But look at verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then he goes on and says he satisfies the longing because people rebelled of him. Then God pulled away from him. And it goes on telling about the troubles in men's heart. And then would you read out loud verse 15 together? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then it goes on and tells the great things he did for men and how he got them out of trouble. And then would you read out loud verse 21? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then he goes on telling how the men begin to give sacrifice and they're grateful again that God's working in their life. And then God is coming to their defense and he's going to protect them. They cry unto the Lord, verse 28, in their trouble and brings them out of their distress. And that's all he asks you to do is to cry out. And I'll read again verse 31 out loud together. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Isn't that amazing? He just keeps saying, oh, by the way, da-da-da-da. And then he starts, oh, by the way, da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, that men would just give glory to God and praise him for his good works. So let's sing some more, okay? We'll worship the Lord. Let's sing and thank God. And as they're coming up, I want to read to you verse 34. A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turns the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. To the person that thanks the Lord for his goodness and cries out to him, he takes everything that is dead and brings it alive. And he wants to take your spirit and refresh it, that you would overflow with his love and his power. Only you and I can stop him. We can do it our way and mess up his plan. But oh, that men would give glory to God and praise him for his good works. Let's stand and let's worship him right now. Father God, we thank you for your word. It endures forever. It goes from generation to generation. Your word, we want to hide in our hearts that we wouldn't sin against you. And Lord, we pray that the word will be powerful in our lives and that we will give a lot of time to it. And Father, I pray for these men and women that you would bless us with faith through your word. Pray tomorrow morning or even tonight that we would get caught up. And if we could get to Genesis 11, 1 through 11, we're on our way to finishing the Bible by December 31st. So help us, Lord. God, we pray in Jesus' name you'd baptize us with the power of your Holy Spirit that would cause a deep hunger and thirst in our soul. It would overflow and it would fatten our soul, that we wouldn't have a lean soul, but our soul would delight itself in fatness. And God, that you'd give us joy and happiness, and that we could see by the light of your word when to turn left or to turn right, when to go forward or when to stop, when to wait on you and to listen, when to make a decision or not. God, we cannot even breathe without you. You hold our breath in your hand. And so tonight, I pray for these beautiful men and women in Jesus Christ's name. You would change them. You would just touch their heart in a way they'd say, I want to know you more, God. I want to hear you more. I want to serve you. Father God, I pray in Christ's name that you'd forgive us all of our sins, because our sin so easily besets us and keeps us from you. We pray you'd forgive us of our sins tonight, and you'd fill us with the power of the Holy Ghost. If there's anyone here, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, or maybe you're in a home on the radio or you're driving down the highway, if you would just say out loud to the Lord, forgive me of my sins. I am so sorry. Please, God, rescue me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Give me eternal life. And take the leanness of my soul and fill me with your word so I could delight myself in fatness. If you prayed and you want Jesus to come into your life and you want a fresh start to erase it all by the blood of Christ, and everybody else is praying, would you look up at me and raise your hand up that I could remember you tonight as I'm driving home? God bless you, and God bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Yes, over here on my left, God bless you. Yes, in the back, in the back. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, right here. I see you. Lord, bless you. Lord, you've seen these people that have reached out to you. And I would pray in your name, together with all those that are standing around them, that your love would just cover a multitude of sin right now. We are not perfect. We're so far from it. We're so flawed. But we know that your love covers a multitude of sin. Doesn't hide it, but it overshadows it. And so now I pray that these dear people would say, okay, Lord, I'm going to get to know your scriptures so I won't sin against you. Bless them, forgive them, and free and liberate them now in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. God bless you.